بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أبني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانه عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمش في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور وقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير.
This medication is important. You know that it's important. I know it's important. But still, does she take it on time or no? I have to call, I have to go, I have to make sure she takes it because something's missing. I know this is good. It's different than saying, I know that this is something I have to do. I must do it. I don't have a choice. Allah didn't just teach Luqman radiallahu anhu wisdom that you should be grateful to Allah, to show gratitude. Showing gratitude is one thing. He understands that it's an amr. I have to do it. In everything I do in life, I have to show gratitude to Allah. It must invade all of my actions, all of my thoughts. All of them have to be tinted with one thing, one color. And that's the color of being grateful to Allah. I have to find excuses to thank Allah in everything that I do. And so when we read this advice that Luqman is giving his son, you must first understand that I must first remind myself, he's not trying to benefit anybody else first. He's himself trying to be grateful to Allah. And from what we learn from that is, when you and I try to help our own family, when the fathers in this audience try to help their sons, when brother tries to help another brother, the first motivation of that is not to help your brother. The first motivation is for me to be grateful to Allah. It's not about someone else, it's about me first. I'm doing it only because I want to show first and foremost gratitude to Allah. This is an idea I'll come back to towards the end of my khutbah, because the end of his advice is tied to this concept. You might think it's a very simple thing, but it can get very complicated very fast. And we can lose sight of it very easily. So I take you towards the tail end of this advice. Ya bunayya, aqimis salat. You've heard these words thousands of times. My beloved son. The son that I love. Ya ibni in Arabic. Ya ibni? Or yabna even. My son. Ya bunayya. My beloved son. My dear son. It's like he's given him a hug. Patting him on the back, showing him love, and then saying, son, listen. You know, a lot of times fathers give sons advice. Actually, fathers, all they do is they give sons advice. Right? Your son calls you on the phone, and all he hears on the other end is, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you finish this? Did you finish that? How come you didn't do this? How come you didn't do that? Okay, I gotta go. Right? Your sons don't even like calling you anymore, because all they hear is advice on the other end. Right? A lot of times, especially as sons get older, they have a hard time talking to their dads. Because dad is always correcting them, and they have, you know, young men get short tempers. So there's a lot of tension between father and son all the time. All the time. So this father is wise, right? Allah told us in the beginning he taught him wisdom. Part of his wisdom is when he talks to his son, he talks to him with love. How many fathers here that have teenage boys that talk to their boys with love? That talk to them in a loving fashion that they're not threatened. Oh, here he goes again. He's going to start his lecture again. I know what's coming now. I see that look on his face. He completely disarms his son. He says, Ya Bunayya. What's the difference between saying, hey, go make salat, it's Maghrib time. And saying, son, come here. Do you notice it's Maghrib time? Let's pray together. There's a difference in tone, isn't it? One would harden the heart and say, okay, fine, I'll pray because you're telling me to. And the other would say, yeah, you're right, dad, I should pray. Let's go to the masjid together. It's different results. Different results entirely. So he says, Ya Bunayya aqimis salat. And I'll just give you one of the fawaid, one of the benefits of salat that are part of this conversation. You know, our salawat, our prayers, literally the Arabic word salat is from sila, which is to connect. They're a direct connection between us and Allah Azza wa Jalla. They're supposed to bring a light into our life. Every salah is supposed to be a source of light in our life. Every salah is supposed to be us getting refueled, rejuvenated. When a person really establishes salat, when they really truly establish salat in their life, then they feel a nur, a light, a tranquility, a peace, a calm, a love that they've never felt before. And the only place they get it is in Salat. And the highest form of that in the Quran is described as Qurratul Ayn. And so the Messenger of Allah says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنَيَّ فِي الصَّلَاتِ. The coolness of my eyes, the highest form of my tranquility was kept in the prayer. It was put in the prayer. When I make salah, I find the most peace. Basically, in simple words. When I make salah, is find out when I find the most peace. So he gives his son loving advice and says, look, establish that real connection with Allah through salah. Now when you really experience that connection with Allah, if you can get that in your salah, then you learn not to be selfish and you say, you know, other people deserve this connection too. This is not just something for me. Others should benefit from this also. And if this is the greatest gift that can be had in this world, a connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, a relationship with the Master, if that's the greatest thing we can accomplish in this world, then for everyone that you love, you would want them to have the same gift. Genuinely. You would just genuinely want them to have the same gift. So the logical consequence is only logical that the next words in the ayah are, وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Command to the good. وَأْمُرْ, by the way, أَمْرَ in Arabic means to advise, to suggest, to compel, to encourage, also to command. In other words, you've got to look for the right occasion. It's not always the time to command. Sometimes it's a time to suggest. Sometimes it's a time to advise, give advice. Sometimes it's a time to encourage. Sometimes it is a time to command. But if you're always commanding, you lose your authority. Nobody listens. If you're always yelling, you're always being a dictator, your people under you will stop listening to you, they don't listen. And then you say, why don't you listen to me? I told you 10 times. Well, that's because you say it 10 times, I stop listening. That's what happens. So وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And al-ma'ruf also, that's a separate conversation, but that which everybody knows to be decent. Call people to that. Now before I go on, I want you to understand what I'm trying to get at. I still haven't made my point yet in this khutbah. And that is, a lot of times we do what we think is amr bin ma'ruf. We're trying to help other people out, trying to correct them in how they make salat, or how they're talking, or how they're dressed, or how they're behaving, or where they're earning their money, or how they deal with their family situations, or you're correcting another Muslim brother and what books he should read, or whatever. We correct each other and we think this is all what? Amr bil ma'ruf. And we think in our head, we think, this is how we think, we're helping them out. We're helping them out. First of all, your intention to help anybody else is what? For you yourself to be grateful to Allah. And secondly, whoever you're helping out, the reason that you want to do that for them, on top of you being grateful to Allah, is genuine love, genuine concern. Genuine love and concern. If you don't care about someone, you can't give them advice. And when you give advice to someone you don't care about, they know you don't care. They know you don't care. They can tell. You know what happens to us when we give advice? We get really angry. That's no way to give advice. And so as I wind towards the conclusion of this khutbah, I'm halfway through, I want to share with you one very peculiar example. Try and pay close attention to this example, because it's one of the most, in my mind, one of the most powerful examples of what I'm trying to get across. Allah Azza wa Jal is unimaginably merciful. And the most merciful of His names is Ar-Rahman. You all know that. And yet, there are a group of people on this earth who say that Allah has taken a son, ma'adallah, their celebrations are on the corner. Yes? So now, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this in the Quran, and He says in Surah Maryam, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا. They said, Ar-Rahman has taken a son. He didn't say there, Allah has taken a son, He said, Ar-Rahman has taken a son. And then after that, He expresses His anger. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. It's understandable that an aziz gets angry. The authority gets angry. We experience that in this world. Authorities get angry. It's understandable al-qawi gets angry. The powerful gets angry. It's understandable. Someone who is dhuntiqam, the capable and possessing the power to take revenge, gets angry. It's understandable. Al-jabbar gets angry. It's understandable. Al-Rahman gets angry. It's beyond fathom. Ar-Rahman, when you hear the word Ar-Rahman, you don't expect anger. What do you expect? Mercy. Allah mentions His name, Ar-Rahman. And in the next ayah, He displays His anger. It's something to wonder about. And one of the results of that is, as merciful as Allah is, that one thing you people say, that one thing you say that Allah has taken a son, even gets rid of that mercy, and Allah makes them so angry. And not only is Allah angry, listen to this. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَا. The fa'il, the subject of that verb is not Allah, it's the skies. Allah says the skies are about to tear open. Allah did not say He's about to tear them open. Allah said the skies on their own are about to tear open. Now I want you to think about this. Somewhere on the street, there's somebody who says Jesus is Lord. Who heard it? Just the guy next to him. I didn't even hear it, I'm not far enough to hear him. But those words are so offensive and so heavy, they travel across the skies. And the entire skies are so offended, they're about to tear open because somebody says Allah has taken a son. They're almost, takadu, almost about to tear open. And the earth is about to crack open just because they say Allah has taken a son. I want you to keep that in mind as I go on. That's not my example yet. But I want you to keep that in mind. These same Christians, a group of them, from Najran, from a town called Najran, they came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What makes Allah angry? You would argue logically what makes Allah angry should make Rasulullah angry sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But watch. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, you've come to talk to me to see if I'm a prophet or not. You know what? Let me put you up in executive suite residence. You stay in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. These Christians that believe Allah has taken a son, and some have come even to debate the Messenger of Allah. They are not just going to say something offensive to Allah, they're going to be arguing with the Messenger of Allah. And where did the Messenger say you get to stay? As honored guests inside the Masjid of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, you pray the way you pray in the Masjid. He told them. You pray the way you're going to pray inside the Masjid. That is so peculiar. What do we learn from that? We learn, as much as we hate that belief, as much as we despise that belief, we can't stand that belief because we know how offensive it is to Allah Himself. That hatred for that belief cannot translate into hatred for those people. It can't. And until they come with their own sound heart and sound judgment to Islam, we will not force them to change their ways, even if they're going to keep their ways up, inside the house of Allah. This is, if you're going to say you do Amr bil Ma'ruf, you're not going to graduate over the practice of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In everything he does, he's doing Amr bil Ma'ruf. In everything he does, he's teaching Amr bil Ma'ruf. That's part of his job. So maybe we don't understand what it means clearly. Maybe we haven't understood the manners of Amr bin Ma'ruf. On our beliefs, we never compromise. But our behavior has to exemplify the behavior of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you really develop a connection with Allah, you will learn to love the truth, and you will also learn to be patient with people around you. So he says, وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. But he adds something you're going to need, without which you will not be able to do Amr bin Ma'ruf, and you will not be able to do Nahi anil Munkar. You will not be able to tell anybody anything good, whether it's inside your family or on a podium or in a church, anywhere. You won't be able to tell anyone to do anything good. You will not be giving good advice ever, or stopping people for harmful activity ever. You won't be able to do it if you don't have this one ingredient. He says, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Be patient over whatever happens to you. Whatever falls upon you, you need to learn to deal with it. Take it with a thick skin. Don't get offended. If anybody has a right to get offended, it's Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anybody has a right to get offended, it's Nuh alayhi salam. These are people that put up with a lot of stuff. You and I can't compare. Oh, I know, bro, you're telling me to be patient, but I try to give my cousin advice. You know, he's so obnoxious. He's so disrespectful. My nephew, my niece, my cousin, my daughter, my sister, my brother, I don't even talk to them because they make me so angry. They say such retarded things. Well, you know what? Much more offensive things have been said to messengers before. And they learn to be patient year after year after year. Same exact people. Same exact people. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Let's compare the contrast because my time's running out. What I really wanted to highlight today. There's a group of people within the Muslims I hope it's not me, and I hope it's not you. I really honestly do. They think they're commanding to good, but all they're doing is their pride. Somewhere deep inside, they think they've become better than people, and it's only that pride that they use that comes out as anger against others. It comes out as anger. They get angry at other people very easily. You know the expression for getting angry at other people easily in Arabic? Sa'ara khaddahu lin-nas. He swelled his cheeks to people. Like that. Made a face like that to people. He hears something he doesn't want to hear, he gets really perturbed. His temper rises. Can't stand it. Now listen to this advice. He told him, be patient. How do you be patient? What are the things? How will I know I'm not being patient anymore? Luqman radiallahu anhu gives his son some litmus tests. He says, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't swell your cheeks at people. Don't scoff at people. Don't be condescending to people. Don't be judgmental of people. Don't think you're better than people. Don't say, oh, those people, forget it. These guys, they don't know anything. Don't have that attitude. Don't be like that, because you know if that's the case, you're already suffering from pride. Your gratitude to Allah is gone. Who are you to judge people? Allah's already there. He's enough as a qadi. He's enough as a judge. We're just there to remind. Another really quick example. I know my time is pretty much up. Really quick example. Allah Azza wa Jalla knew Fir'aun is going to hell. He knew that. He knew, before Fir'aun died, Allah knew what he's going to do, how he's going to even try to kill the believers till the last breath he has. I mean, we read his story, we pass over it. Man, the guy killed babies. Do you understand what that looks like? You have kids? I have 6 kids. I can't imagine it. If I try to picture it, I can't. I have to stop. He killed thousands of babies every other year. If you want to think of a... If evil had a picture next to it in the dictionary, probably be Fir'aun's picture. Allah knew he's going to go to hell. But yet, when Musa alayhi salam was told to go talk to him, Allah told him, لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. Maybe he'll become pure. Maybe he'll just, maybe something good is inside him, maybe he'll want to become pure. He doesn't want Musa alayhi salam to judge. Allah's already passed judgment. Allah already knows. You and I can't pass judgment. You and I have to assume the best. We just have to assume the best about people. لَا تُسَعِرْ قَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk on the earth like you've accomplished something. مَرَحْ الشِّدَّةُ الْفَرْحِ أَصْلُهُ الْكِبْرِ. Right? It's the intense pride. And have, like, I told those guys today, I did some real Amr bin Ma'ruf. I told that guy good. I showed him the hadith and everything. Put him in his place. We use the religion to further our own pride sometimes. SubhanAllah. That same religion that came to humble the believer. We use it to show our power to others. To show our supremacy to others. What sad state we've come into. So before you think of the pride of others, this is a father giving advice to his son after he told him, do Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar. And if you don't have sabr, your Amr bin Ma'ruf and your Nahi Anil Munkar will take the wrong turn. You'll start swelling your cheeks at people. You're going to start walking on the earth with pride. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah does not love anybody that is mukhtar. Mukhtar is one of the Arabic words for someone who's, you know, arrogant. But it's a very interesting word. It comes from khayal. Ikhtala yakhtalu ikhtiyal comes from khayal. Khayal means to wonder. This guy is amazed with himself. Man, subhanAllah, Allah has really given me a lot of knowledge. It's my responsibility to save the world. If I don't do it, how is it going to ever happen? He's become very impressed with himself. Every time he goes and insults somebody in the name of Allah, he pats himself on the back. He thinks he's really accomplished something. Mukhtal. Fakhur. Full of pride. Full of a sense of accomplishment. Waqsid fi mashyik. And by the way, you know how people get angry? When you give somebody advice, they don't take your advice, you get angry? That's a good check, you're giving advice for the wrong reason. The fact that you get angry, the fact that I get angry, is a proof of our arrogance. It is a proof of our arrogance. Because the response to our advice not being taken is the response of the prophets. It is sabr. Alayhi salatu wasalam. When that response is not there, you know what's going to happen? Imagine this, I'll leave you with this practical picture. I think it's very practical. Just picture the scene. You're giving somebody advice, they laugh at you. They insult your advice. You know what you do typically? You get up and walk away. And you don't just walk away slowly. You storm out. The next bit of advice is waqsid fi mashyik. Balance yourself in your walk. Slow down, buddy. Take it easy. What do you think you're doing? When you see somebody storming out, that's an expression of what? Of anger. Waghdud min sawtik. Lower your voice. What happens when people get angry? Raise their voice. They can't take it anymore. Look at how logical this advice is. If you're going to do amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, you will need sabr. And how do you have sabr? Don't be judgmental of people. Don't walk out of the conversation. Lower your voice. And finally he says, inna ankarat aswat, that's what al hamid. The nastiest of the sounds is the sound of a donkey, the braying of a donkey. Why did Allah compare the human being to a donkey in this ayah? You know, a donkey, you put loads on it. Books, you know, clothing, articles. Back in the day, the trucks were donkeys. You put stuff on it, and it carries it, until you put so much on it, it can't carry anymore, and at that point, what does it do? It makes a nasty sound. Sawtul Hamir. When you load too much on it. Just like that, you say, man, this guy keeps putting me down, he keeps testing my patience, he keeps loading on me, until I can't take anymore, and I what? I explode. Allah says at that point where you can't take anymore, that is when you and I will learn whether we have sabr or not. That's the time not to become a donkey. Not before then. أَوَّلُ الْغَضَبْ جُنُونَ آخِرُهُ نَدَمَ الْعَرَبْ يَقُونَ الْعَرَبْ يَقُونَ أَوَّلُ الْغَضَبْ جُنُونَ آخِرُهُ نَدَمَ. The first phase of anger is insanity. When you go crazy like a donkey, that means you're crazy, and afterwards you'll regret it. What's the point of regretting it afterwards? Sorry, bro, I got so angry I couldn't control myself. You know I get like that sometimes, like a hamid, like himal. No. We have to be people of sabr. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the understanding, the proper understanding of amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. May Allah make us a people that can control their anger just out of being grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. That He gave us the opportunity to take some blessing of this deen. May Allah make us of those who give advice in the best possible way, in the most sincere possible way. And may Allah put barakah of His own and His power into the sincere advice that we give and reward us and those who listen to that advice as a result. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. There are a lot of people standing in the back, squeezed together as closely as you possibly can.